I'm Susie Larson. Thanks for listening to this podcast from Susie Larson Live.
It's only just a matter of
Welcome to Susie Larson Live. I'm always honored to get to spend this time with you. In fact, I look forward to bringing you conversations every single day that hopefully inspire you in your faith walk, that deepen your understanding of God's Word, and that heightens your awareness of His very real presence in your life. Here's a question for you. Are you an introvert? Go on and text me right away. Yes, no. Are you an introvert? You know, some people think introverts are just people who are shy and don't have much to say. But there are different types of introverts, and you know this if you've listened long enough. I'm a total introvert. I thrive in solitude. I get overwhelmed in crowds. I want to be invited to your party. I just don't want to go. So what about you? Are you an introvert? Does it seem like the world and even the church, for that matter, is wired for extroverts? Well, my friend Holly Girth joins me today. She's written a genius new book for introverts and for those who love them titled The Powerful Purpose of Introverts, Why the World Needs You to Be You. Doesn't that just already make you just exhale and breathe a little easier? Why the world needs you to be you. And we've got 5 copies to give away. You can text the word book to 877-933-2484, 877-933-2484. And we are giving away a Charles Stanley Life Principle Bible, actually 2 Bibles a week during the month of October. And Charles Stanley just has age-old wisdom, sage wisdom. You can go on our website, myfaithradio.com, to register to win. Hey, Leanne's an introvert. No wonder why you and I get along so well. Let me tell you about my guest. We'll get her on the show. Holly's a Wall Street Journal best-selling author, life coach, and licensed counselor. She imagines a world where we all become who we were created to be, to use our strengths to serve and to grow for a lifetime. I love that. Holly co-founded the groundbreaking blog community InCourage and co-hosts the popular podcast More Than Small Talk. You can find her resources for introverts and others on her website at hollygirth.com. And Holly, I sure love you. Welcome back to the program.
Thank you so much for having me again, Susie.
Looking forward to our conversation. So you know this, we love to start by talking scripture. Wondering if there's a passage you've been pondering these days you can share with us.
Well, one scripture I love that a lot of people are familiar with is Psalm 139:14 that says, I praise you because you made me in an amazing and wonderful way. And I like that particular translation. A lot of times we hear the more traditional where it's translated, I praise you because you made me, because I'm fearfully and wonderfully made. But I love that translation that says, you made me in an amazing and wonderful way.
Boy, I love that. So good. Well, I want you to talk about the inspiration behind this book. I mean, all the different things you could write about. When did you realize I need to write giving introverts permission to be who God made them to be?
Yeah, well, when I told my mama I was writing a book about introverts, she said, of course you are. In 4th grade, you read a book about birth order, created an assessment, analyzed your friends, did it as a science project. So I was 9.
Wow.
So that may have been the start, but I first heard the word introvert when I was in college. I remember exactly where I was, sitting cross-legged on this old gray carpet at a campus ministry meeting, and the guest speaker said introvert, and it was like a light bulb went on, and I realized that not only was there a name for some ways that I engage with the world, there were a lot of other people that engaged with the world in similar ways, and for a long time, I only understood half of the story of being an introvert, which is what I didn't like tons of small talk, going to parties every night. But I didn't understand the other side, the strengths and the gifts and how we are designed by God to be introverts. And so as I became an author and life coach and counselor, I just was inspired for my journey and to help the people I was engaging with to understand that part of the story, too.
Boy, that's good. So far, every text that has come in, they're all introverts. Maybe this is why we don't want
introverts.
But I love you too.
Instead of talk on the phone.
Yes, that is exactly right. I have a phone phobia.
If you told them to call in, you wouldn't be hearing from anyone.
This is true. I like Luke's text. He says, I'm a chameleon. I'm an introvert when alone and an extrovert in crowds. I think we're going to get to that phrase ambivert in a little bit, where you're a hybrid of both. So we're going to talk about you, Luke, in just a little bit. But what are some myths that we believe about introverts?
Well, one is that it's about people and whether we like people or not, socializing, it's really about how our brains and nervous systems are wired. And so there are kind of three main differences between introverts and extroverts. And so that was a big aha for me, that it's not about do I like people or not, do I like small talk or not. It's really about how I'm designed by God. Also, that shyness and introversion aren't the same thing. Shyness is fear-based. Introversion is a way of engaging with our external environment. So we often confuse those two. And then, you know, like Luke said, we can get confused because we think introverts want to be alone all the time. And that's not true either. We just need to be alone some of the time because that's how our nervous systems that are very sensitive and take a lot in. That's how we process things. And then we do want to be out there again and be with our people. So those are just a few of the myths that we tend to hear about introverts.
Well, you did quite a bit of research on the brain and the nervous system. So maybe make the distinction, because I think, I'm guessing another myth or belief, misnomer around introversion versus extroversion is it's a personality preference. Like, I just prefer this. But it really goes all the way down to our neurological wiring. So, like, God intended for introverts to be introverts and extroverts to be extroverts. So maybe unpack what you learned there.
Yeah. When I look at the creation story, there's so many complementary pairings, day and night, land and sea, masculine, feminine. And after looking at all this research, I really believe another one is introvert, extrovert. So I'll give you a quick run through the three primary ways we differ between introverts and extroverts. So first is the neurotransmitter, which is like a chemical messenger in our brain that makes us feel best. So extroverts feel best through a neurotransmitter called dopamine that works kind of like caffeine. It revs us up, prepares us for action. It's released in our systems when we have a lot coming at us from the outside world. So introverts already have a level of dopamine that feels pretty good to them. It's like we've had our morning cup of coffee, and if we have a lot more coming at us, it's like we've had a whole pot. Maybe exciting at first, but eventually exhausting. And we feel better through a different neurotransmitter called acetylcholine, which I say works more like herbal tea. So it is released when we do activities like being able to turn inward, having a meaningful conversation with one person, getting to focus deeply on a project we're passionate about. So that's one difference. Then we have two divisions of our nervous system, sympathetic and parasympathetic. Again, one revs us up, one kind of calms us down, so you can imagine, which goes with extrovert and introvert there that we rely on more. And then I find it fascinating that we even use a different primary brain pathway for processing. So extroverts use a primary pathway that is shorter, faster, more focused on the present. Introverts use a brain pathway that's longer, more complex, and takes into account the past, present, and future. So that's why introverts often need a little bit of time to process before we respond, because we are using that complex brain pathway. But when we do respond, it often means we can add a lot of context and depth and insight to conversations. And I want to be sure that I say introverts or extroverts are my favorite. People being who God created them to be are my favorite. I'm so grateful for who extroverts are too, but to me, it's very clear that God intentionally designed both.
I love that. I mean, I've got extrovert friends, and they're the life of the party and their entertainment. I always call them my party favors. I bring them along and make sure.
Yes.
They're the most fun.
Yeah. When I go to conferences, I always find a designated extrovert.
Yeah. That's
so will you help me work the room? Yep.
Yes, I know. If someone can help me do that, I'm so happy and so grateful. Yeah, but, you know, you can see why introverts could feel. I mean, I know I have felt like this for years. You and I chatted about the differences a few years ago, and even that conversation, Holly, made me feel a little, just helped me exhale a little bit about going, yeah, I'm going to embrace who God made me to be. But prior to that, it made me feel selfish. It made me feel flawed just because I need solitude to fill back up again. And when you're surrounded by extroverts and they're like, come on, you know, you start to feel like, what is wrong with me? Am I a low capacity person? But I'm not. I can accomplish a ton in a day. But speak to that whole idea of even the impact on your soul, living, thinking you're completely flawed because of how you're wired.
Yeah. For a long time, I told myself I need to be more of an extrovert, especially when I first started publishing books and getting a lot of speaking invitations. I thought, okay, this is part of the job. I have to say yes to everything and everyone all the time. And I put myself on the brink of burnout. And I went to this amazing conference and gave the keynote on a Saturday night, and in Sunday morning worship, I couldn't stop crying. And I felt like God said, go home. And I knew he meant get on the plane, go home, take a long nap, but also go home to who I created you to be. And I realized that we are each designed for God's unique purpose for our lives. And we can't do someone else's purpose better, but we have everything we need for his purpose for us. And that includes us if we're introverts, that the way we are created has gifts and strengths that our world needs more than ever before. And so that was a huge turning point for me, just realizing this is intentional on God's part, and I can be who he made me and fulfill his purpose for my life.
So maybe today you embrace, if you're an extrovert, an introvert, embrace it, you know, because I think just as introverts often feel like we're not enough, I'm sure extroverts, the enemy is railing in your ear, you're too much. But God knew what he was doing when he made you. We're going to pause here. When we come back, I'd love you to answer Leanne's question. Do people change? Feel like my younger days, I was more extroverted. Now I'm introverted. I'm going to have you speak to that. If you would, Holly, talking to Holly Gerth, best-selling author, her brand new book, The Powerful Purpose of Introverts. Listen to this subtitle, Why the World Needs You to Be You. We've got 5 copies to give away. Text the word book to 877-933-2484. And if you've got questions, comments, I love seeing all these texts come in. I love when you engage in the conversation. My introverted self is so happy right now. We'll be back in just a minute. One of the great things he did was he made you fearfully, wonderfully so. He knew what he was doing when he wired you together. Thanks for tuning in to Suzy Larson Live, talking to my friend Holly Gerth about her amazing new book, The Powerful Purpose of Introverts, Why the World Needs You to Be You. And hey, if you're an extrovert, like I said before the break, I'm sure the enemy rails in your ear that you're too much. If you're introvert, he says you're not enough. But we're done with that, right? Because he's made us wonderfully and fearfully so. Janet says, married to an extrovert, I'm an introvert. Thank you for explaining why I feel so different and enjoy time by myself. I can't wait to read this book. And that was Patrice who said that. Janet says this, I'm a total extrovert who loves constant people or party presence. I bet you're a blast. I'm married to a total introvert. One of our daughters is an introvert as well. I'm still learning this. It's so interesting. Love the program. Thanks so much, Janet. Okay, here is Leanne's question. Do people change? I feel like in my younger days, I was more extroverted. Now I'm introverted. What do you say, Holly?
Well, they've done studies with people from infanthood through adulthood, and based on those, the characteristics stay the same throughout a lifetime. We tend to be one or the other, introvert or extrovert. That being said, none of us are 100% introvert or extrovert. So we need to picture ourselves on a continuum with introvert on one side, extrovert on the other. And research does show that we all move within our given range toward the end of the spectrum that is introverted. And so if someone feels like I'm an extrovert, but I've become a little more introverted as I've gotten older, that is actually really common. And so we can think about it in those terms. Like, it's kind of like being right or left-handed, where we use both of our hands all day, every day, but there's one we rely on more, especially in certain situations. And so that's a little bit what it's like. So for that reason, I'm also not a big believer in the term ambivert because of that brain and nervous system wiring we talked about before the break. I really think that most of the time people are one or the other.
And for those who may not know, because I just learned it before the show, ambivert is a hybrid or considered to be hybrid. And so you're saying we really bend one way or the other.
Yeah, right? I think we have one that's dominant, even though we all have a little bit of both in us. And I have a one-minute quiz on my site you can take to find out what percentage introvert you are, see how much introvert you have in you.
Mm-hmm. Wow. You write this, introverts don't need to act more like extroverts to thrive, lead, and make a difference. Instead, they need to truly understand who God created them to be so they can bravely offer their gifts to a world that needs them more than ever. Wow, I love that so much. It does seem, as I said at the open of the show, Holly, that the world and even the church is wired for extroverts, and it makes you wonder, man, if I struggle walking through the church foyer, what do I have to offer? But maybe give some examples of great ways that introverts have contributed to the world and even to the church.
Yeah, and you mentioned walking through the foyer. I had an experience where I got to go to St. Paul's Cathedral in Europe, and as soon as people walked in the doors, they lowered their voices, they slowed their paces, they became more reflective. And I thought, wow, everyone is acting more like introverts when they walk into this church. And throughout a lot of history, that's often what happened, that the church was a refuge from the noise and the busyness of the outside world. And I am thankful for so much of what the church brings today. But I do think that we have missed out on some of the qualities that introverts have to give. In our culture today, being reflective instead of reactive is powerful. I think we all can see that on social media, being in a political season, that capacity for reflection can be really healing. Our ability to listen well, the discipline of solitude, which was an important spiritual discipline for most of church history, and even leadership studies have shown introverts and extroverts benefit from solitude. And then the capacity for meaningful relationships. It's not that extroverts can't have those. Some of the most relational, caring people I know are, of course, extroverts. But I think introverts do have a craving to go to a deeper place with people that comes a little more naturally. And when I did a survey with my readers, thousands of people, the extroverts who responded said their biggest challenge was loneliness. So I think we can look around and assume that everyone else has more friends or people in their lives. But what I heard over and over, even from extroverts, was I have a lot of people in my life or on my Facebook page. I'm really longing to go deeper with a few people. And introverts often do that well. And so those are just a few of the things that I think that our culture needs from introverts right now.
Very good. Wow. And, you know, this is kind of piggybacking off what you said, but maybe unpack even a bit more the extremes both extroverts and introverts can go to, because I can imagine, I can see how introverts would have a high capacity for deeper relationships because we love one-on-one. I mean, small talk is torture for me, but I love, like, if I can go right to the depths with someone, we're leaning in and we're talking, that is just an amazing thing. But you can see how if we thrive on solitude, how it can become a selfish self-protection. And if the extrovert thrives on crowds, it can become a numbing element to their life where they're not facing the stuff that surfaces when they're alone, maybe. So speak to that, if you would.
Yeah, and I think something important to understand is the difference between isolation and solitude. And so as an introvert, I would find myself needing time alone. And then I would think of that verse in Genesis where God says it's not good for man to be alone. And I think, uh-oh, I'm not supposed to do that. You know, I've just got to push through or something. So I looked at the original meaning of that word alone, and it's not about physical space at all. It's about living in a way where we are disconnected from God, from others, and from our truest selves. And I've experienced moments like that in a crowded room just as much as I have by myself. And so I think that solitude, in contrast, is when we intentionally choose time on our own for a purpose, for restoration, for prayer, for processing something that's going on in a relationship, for creative pursuits or projects that we're working on that then contribute to the world. And so I think understanding that isolation is about disconnection. Solitude is about connection, even if we are physically on our own when it happens, is an important distinction. Mm-hmm. And so, yeah.
I was going to say, very interesting in the book, you said that introverts are more sensitive to caffeine. I found that to be incredibly true. I can have a cup of coffee in the morning. If I have a cup and a sip, I don't sleep at night. I'm just so sensitive. But why is that?
It's because our nervous systems in general are just more impacted by things coming at us from the external environment. And that includes things like what we eat, drink. Clutter is extremely stimulating to introverts. social media notifications coming in all the time is stimulating. Again, all of those things in our external environment are causing dopamine to be released in our brains, which when we, like we talked about at the beginning of the show, that is the neurotransmitter extroverts crave more of, but introverts already have enough of. And if we get a lot more, we feel overwhelmed and drained. And so one of the biggest things that we as introverts need to do is learn how to budget our energy well, because we have just as much energy as extroverts, but we need to be careful about how we use it and what we give it to because of those introvert nervous systems.
You know, the people that I know that can drink a cup of coffee at 10 p.m. at night, now that I think about it, are all extroverts. You know,
yep.
I seriously cannot do more than a cup and a sip. And I am so, my body is so sensitive, and I marvel that these people, but they're the ones out going out to dinner at 9 or 10. And I'm like, I'm in the middle of my sleep cycle. Yeah. But I really do love the thought that God has just so purposely wired us different. So what does an introvert say to an extrovert when the extrovert says, hey, come on, join the fun? You know, especially when a number of these texts that came in, you've got one spouse one way, the other spouse the other way, and they feel a little bit deprived maybe because they're like, can you just jump out of your shell for this one time? How should an introvert answer that?
Yeah, well, I think one big aha moment too that I had when writing the book and looking at the research is that extroverts and introverts experience happiness differently. So because of that brain and nervous system wiring, how we're different, extroverts experience happiness as enthusiasm and excitement. Introverts experience happiness as calm and contentment. So our well-meaning extroverts who love us so much want us to go out and have a good time because that's what makes them happy. And so they assume that's what makes us happy. But as introverts, happiness often operates differently. It's more of calm and contentment. So if you're married to someone or close to someone of the opposite type, it can be helpful to ask, what does happiness actually feel like to you? And what are some moments where you experience it, just to see if there are perhaps some assumptions happening? And then, you know, if an extrovert says, I really want to go out with my introvert, then it often helps to just give the introvert a heads up, because they do need to budget their energy and plan for it, and then they're fine. But I think just having some conversations about, you know, what helps you feel your best, what are the moments when you feel like you're really thriving, and just coming together about how both types can get their needs met can be really powerful.
Wow, I want you to think about that, friend. I want you to text in. So give me some examples of happy. Like, that was fascinating in the book. So if you're kind of hitting kind of a roadblock in communication with someone who's opposite of you, to ask them, what does happy feel like? So give me a few examples of what happy might feel like.
Yeah, I think, like I said, for introverts, calm, contentment, satisfaction, meaning, you know, those kind of more inward-turning synonyms, extroverts, more outward-turning synonyms, excitement, enthusiasm, engagement. Hmm. And so I think just making that distinction, and even with the five love languages, most of us by now are familiar with the five love languages, like touch, words of affirmation, but I realize it really matters what volume we speak them in. So,
wow.
Okay. Words of affirmation introvert will probably love having a personal note written to them, where okay. Words of affirmation extrovert might love being pulled up in front of the team meeting.
Yes.
So
I got to stop here. Thank you. We have a hard break here, but that explains why, like, someone, you know, complimenting me in front of a group makes me completely squirm, but write me a note. That means so much. Wow. Isn't it good to know how God wired us? Talking to Holly Girth. This is great conversation. Don't go away. More with Holly in a moment. Thanks so much for tuning into Suzy Larson Live, talking to my friend Holly Girth. Here's my question for you. When the enemy comes in and rails in your ear. Does he tell you you're too much, or does he tell you you're not enough? We're talking about introverts versus extroverts. She's written a powerful book, and I love to see all the texts coming in, all the engagement. Appreciate that so much. As I said, this introverted self of mine loves that so much to hear from you. Holly's book is titled The Powerful Purpose of Introverts, Why the World Needs You to Be You. And if you're an extrovert, that's why the world needs you to be you as well. We've got 5 copies to give away. You can text the word book to 877-933-2484. Holly, this listener asked a really good question. Says, please don't say my name. Oh, sorry about that. I'm glad I didn't. Has Holly seen any research on the effect of chronic emotional/relational trauma on introversion or extroversion? I'm going to read that again. Have you seen any research on the effect of chronic emotional or relational trauma as it relates to introversion or extroversion?
Yeah, I think that's a great question. I think that trauma, of course, can cause us to pull back from others. I think that is different than introversion. Again, that's coming out of a place of pain, which is totally legitimate and very, you know, matters to God. And so I think from that sense, you know, they're different. That being said, research does show that introverts are more likely to struggle with anxiety and depression, and that is related, again, to our introvert nervous systems. So that is part of my story. There are strengths on the other end of that, like empathy and being perceptive and observant, but it's good to know that's a little bit of a vulnerability for us. And so in that sense, I guess the answer is it's complicated. But if we feel ourselves holding back due to pain or fear, that's not introversion at the root. That's something that we've been wounded, and it is okay to get whatever kind of healing we need for that.
Oh, that's good. Here's a really interesting question. It says, I'm really struggling. I'm engaged to an introvert, and I'm an extrovert. I can't seem to feel any energy with this person, and it keeps me from wanting to move forward with marriage, possibly. And I'm a lay person. I'm going to let you answer this, but I just want to interject. I'm a total introvert, but my hubby says he can't keep up with me. I have high energy. I throw pillows at him. We laugh a lot. So there's energy in our relationship, even though I'm an introvert. So could that be, I mean, everybody's different, but I'm wondering if this person doesn't feel like the energy or the connection, could it be something deeper, or is it strictly introvert, extrovert, you think?
Yeah, I think that introvert and extrovert can have some energy differences, as far as extroverts have more external energy to that they put into activities and things like that. Introverts have internal energy that they put into often creative projects, thinking, things like that. And when I was researching, it was fascinating to find this study where chess grandmasters in tournaments burn as many calories as marathon runners.
What?
So, yeah, wow. Like literally they hooked them up. They had like heart rates and calorie burns in the same range as people in marathons. And so we can often look at our introverts and say, well, I don't understand why they're tired, because outwardly they're not doing a whole lot. But actually physiologically, what we do internally as introverts does take energy. So I would say that that's an important conversation to have. I don't think there's any right or wrong to this. There's just a matter of, what is the energy in our marriage going to look like? What do we both need to feel at our best? So maybe for the extrovert, that means knowing every Friday night we go out. For the introvert, it means knowing every Saturday morning we sleep in. And just negotiating that, and also taking into consideration, what kind of energy do I want in my home over a lifetime? Because that calm introvert may be the presence that this person wants over a lifetime, even though in certain moments they wish that they could rev it up a little, and vice versa. So I think it's just important to have conversations about those differences.
So, you know, I'm sure there are times when two introverts marry and two extroverts marry. And then there's times, you know, where as we've had a lot of texts come in saying that one is and one isn't. And I can imagine just different scenarios where it works and where it doesn't, where, you know, two extroverts, they just live bouncing from one thing to the next, and they sharpen each other. And there's a lot of electricity there, you know. But I can also imagine, if there's an incongruency in the energy where one really is just sort of an all-out extrovert and the other one is an all-out introvert, as you said, because it's a continuum, if you're engaged and you're feeling like this disconnect is pretty significant, as you said, that is definitely something to look at.
Yeah, because it's not likely to change. As we've talked about, we tend to consistently be who we are over a lifetime. So that energy difference is probably going to continue to be there. You can do some strategic adapting as far as putting things on the calendar or taking them off. But I think that's very important to consider.
Very good. This was fascinating to me. You referenced an overview of four tendencies. They're different ways that people react to expectations. I laughed out loud when I read the last one, but I want you to unpack them if you don't mind, but I'll read them first. Upholder. So if there's expectations put on us, there are four different kind of types of people. The upholder, and the theme is discipline is my freedom. So it's like, I'm going to uphold that expectation. I'm going to figure out a way to make it happen. I'm going to schedule it in, and I'm going to overachieve in the process. The obliger, you can count on me, and I'm counting on you to count on me. And the questioner, I'll comply if you convince me why. And the rebel, I like this one, you can't make me, and neither can I. Oh my goodness, I love that so much. Just made me laugh. But talk, if you would, about just how people react to expectations and how that plays into our wiring.
Yeah, this is actually a framework developed by Gretchen Rubin, and she has a quiz on her site that you can take to find out your tendency. But it does just help us understand the way we respond to external and internal expectations. So an external expectation would be a deadline. An internal one would be a New Year's resolution you make for yourself. And so, like, as you ran through those, upholder, internal, external, they're just going to get it done. They got to get it on the calendar and it'll happen. Obligers tend to readily meet external expectations when someone else needs them, but struggle to meet their own. So say they set an exercise goal. If they're running with five friends, it's easier to show up than if they say, every morning I'm going to do this alone just for myself. And then questioners need to make meaning. They need to understand why this is the best way, why this timing. They ask a lot of questions, obviously. And then once it makes sense to them, they move forward. And rebels want to be free. They want to do what's consistent with their identity. They can do anything they want to if they decide they want to do it. So I think this is helpful in work, in marriage, in all these different areas of our lives where when we want change and we're not sure why we can't make it happen, it's often our tendency that is interfering in some way.
Boy, that's just fascinating. I want to read this excerpt and have you speak to it. You say, I believe what introverts need most is not a skill set, but a shift in mindset. It's the courage to decide that who God created us to be is enough. It's the bravery to see that for us, loving well looks different. It's the bold step of showing up as we are with vulnerability and without apology. Say a bit more about that.
Yeah, one of the biggest aha moments for me was realizing that loving well is not about quantity, it's about quality. There is no mandate anywhere in scripture that says you have to have X amount of friends or people in your life or events on your social calendar. It all goes back to quality, like 1 Corinthians 13, being patient, being kind, loving one person at a time. We're even invited to love one another. It literally has the word one in that commandment. And so I think freeing ourselves from the pressure that we feel, especially as introverts, that connection or even how much we love God is measured by our social schedule. Letting that go is really powerful. And instead just saying, I'm called to love whoever God puts in front of me today. If that happens to be many people, I will love them. But if that is one person that I'm called to serve in the season of my life, then that is just as valuable.
Boy, again, this might be a breath of fresh air for someone. I mean, I read in scripture, it talks about if your gift is teaching, then speak as though you're speaking the very words of God. If your gift is serving, then serve with all the strength that God supplies. And yet somehow, some way, when people can make rules, like if God's moving in on them, you know, I've heard this before where leaders, you know, say, you know, we're adopting kids and every Christian family should be adopting kids. Now, I think adoption is amazing, but maybe that's not even a good example. But when people are experiencing something significant in God and then they say everybody else should be doing this too. And for the introvert, when you hear too many of those kinds of messages, again, it's that not enough thing. Like I can't go serve in the inner city five times a week, adopt three children, do my job, take care of my kids. And you know what I'm saying? So I love what you're saying where if somehow, some way, we've got to fill our space and run our race. And I just think the external angst takes so much joy out of the journey, where the idea of us just being us is such a relief. I'm probably not even saying it the way I want to say it, but maybe speak to that if you would.
Yeah, and I think even church can be overwhelming for a lot of introverts. Mm. I go to a church I love. We've gone there for years. But when I walk in the door, it is loud. There's a huge crowd of people. It's overwhelming a lot of the time. And I have learned to take earplugs where I can still hear everything, but at a better volume, a journal that I can look at and write during the service, some strategies, but also just giving myself permission that it is okay if at physical church is not where I feel closest to God, that it matters to be with other people who share our faith, but it is okay if I connect most with God when I'm on a walk outside or having a meaningful spiritual conversation with one person or studying and learning something new about who God is. That for introverts, often it feels like external distractions pull us away from God, put distance there instead of drawing us close. And that is okay because God knows we are designed like that. And so even just that freedom to say, how do I tend to connect with people in my life? For me, it's having coffee, that meaningful one-on-one conversation. Well, then it's probably no surprise that's how I feel closest to God too, when I have time apart with him where we can connect in that way, or I'm learning or writing. And so I think it is just saying it is okay to honor who God created me to be because he's the one who designed me that way and he delights in it. It's not a weakness. It's not a fault. It's actually a delight to him.
Love that. You know, we've had Gary Thomas on the show plenty of times and talked Sacred Pathways many times, and you referenced the Sacred Pathways in your book. But for those who aren't familiar with that, I mean, talk just as another kind of perspective so we can embrace how God wired us. But talk about why that's important.
Yeah, so Gary Thomas talks about 9 different ways that we feel closest to God. They're like naturalist, which is being outdoors, you know, helpers, when we give to other people, intellectual, which is the very last one in the book and is mine. And I was really worried I didn't have one, but that's when you're learning about God and having aha moments through, you know, study or conversation, whatever it is. And so that was really freeing to me to read that book. It's an excellent resource. And just realize that we do all have different ways of connecting with God, and that's okay, and that we can help each other learn new ways to connect with him, but it's also okay if some just feel more natural to us and to embrace that.
Very good. We're going to pause here. When we come back, we'll answer Linda's question. How does hospitality look different for introverts and extroverts? That's an interesting question. And we'll talk about sensitivity and how you call it perception and how important that is. Talking to Holly Girth today. And again, whether you're an extrovert or an introvert, God made you that way. You're fearfully and wonderfully made. And even if people have tried to make you something different, have pressured you, you just got to know God knew what he was doing when he made you. You've got a place in the world and your gifts matter. Holly's book is The Powerful Purpose of Introverts, Why the World Needs You to Be You. Her next book will be on extroverts, so you don't feel left out. Just kidding, but I think it should be. Anyway, you can text the word book to get in on the drawing, 877-933-2484. We'll be back in a minute. Thanks for tuning in to Suzy Larson Live. You know how King David says, I am fearfully and wonderfully made. My soul knows it very well. That's one of the goals I have for this show, is for you to be able to really embrace how God made you with the gifts, the passions, the convictions, his wiring, whether you're an introvert or extrovert, where you can really embrace the you God made you to be without apology, where you can say, you know what, I'm fearfully and wonderfully made, and my soul knows it very well. Thanks for tuning in, talking to my friend Holly Girth, who's written a really great new book, The Powerful Purpose of Introverts, Why the World Needs You to Be You. We've got 5 copies to give away. You can text the word book if you want in on the drawing, 877-933-2484. I can't even express to you how much I've loved all the texts that have come in with questions and comments. It's just so helpful for me to know what's going on in your heart. And Linda wants to know, how does hospitality look different for introverts and extroverts?
Yeah, I think before the break, we touched on, Suzy, that relationships are more about quality than quantity. And I think when it comes to hospitality, just keeping that in mind, that for an introvert. I have an amazing introvert friend who just invited me over recently, and it was just me. And we sat on her porch, socially distanced, and I got her full attention for an hour. And that was such a gift. And then I have an extrovert friend who recently had a dinner gathering, again, having all the social distancing things in place and being careful, but she wanted a whole group of us in the room. And that was a different kind of gift. And so I think just saying that it's not about how many people are in a room or on the guest list, but instead how we, using our gift, can serve others well. And that may be listening for an hour to one person, or it might be inviting several people into our home and sitting down around a table together. And so I think that hospitality is more about opening your heart than opening your home. Mm-hmm. And so just asking God, who do you want me to open my heart to today? And how is the best way that I can do that?
I love that. You know, we do this thing that my boys are grown and they're married now, and we do it for every birthday. We've done it since they were kids, but it's so fun now to have the daughters-in-law chime in, where we go around and kind of give a birthday blessing, where we just say, we affirm what we see in them and what we've seen over the last year, just something that we admire. And one daughter-in-law said to the other daughter-in-law, she said, I used to think hospitality was just the gift of cooking and having people over. But she said, I've since learned that true hospitality is making space for someone in your life. And then she went on to tell the sister-in-law, you have the greatest gift of hospitality, because whether you're home cooking for people or you're out and about, you go, you pursue people, and you make space for them. And I just feel like, again, for introverts, you know, that might be a great relief for you to sit down for coffee where you're not cooking or anything. You're out for coffee, but you're making space and you're listening. In fact, I love this. You said, Holly, yes, the most talkative person gets the attention, but thoughtful listeners build trust, likability, and solid relationships. So there's something to be said there about that kind of hospitality, isn't there?
Yeah, I think in today's world, we live just in a very noisy world, and I think all of us deeply long to be heard. And so introverts, it's okay if you don't have as many words. People need to be listened to, and that is a powerful gift.
That's so good. You talk in the book, too, about sensitivity, but you call it perception. And I liked how you gave some examples. Michael Phelps has a perception around athletics. And you talked about a chef who's got his sensory is kind of heightened so he can be a good cook. But speak to that and how, you know, sensitivity kind of gets a bad rap. But perception is, I like that. It's a fresh angle.
Yeah, well, Dr. Elaine Aaron did studies that discovered about 20% of the population is what she calls highly sensitive. And so we tend to think of that term sensitive in emotional terms, but she's talking about it more in neurological nervous system terms. So just being very impacted, again, by what's going on around us. And this can be true of introverts or extroverts. But HSPs, highly sensitive people, have this kind of across the board. But then I think especially for introverts, we often have one area of sensitivity or perception where we are highly observant. We often end up in a career like that. So for me, mine would be words and psychology type things. That's my area of perception. An interior designer who can distinguish between 1,000 shades of blue, that would be an area of perception. Like you mentioned, a chef who can tell all the subtle flavors. So if someone wants to figure out what's an area of high perception in my life, think about an area of your life where you catch details other people tend to miss, and where you are asked advice about something that you think is no big deal because it comes so easily and naturally to you. And that is often one way of uncovering our giftings, because God has placed those sensitivities, that perception within us, and it's often a way that we can serve others. It's kind of like a little superpower. So that can be a fun thing to think about and look for in your kids is another fun way to consider it.
That's fantastic. Okay, I want to jump over to intentional energy, where you talk about food and drinks, both withdrawals and deposits. So a withdrawal over time would be caffeine, or deposits would be calming beverages like herbal tea. Withdrawal would be sugar, a deposit fresh fruit. A withdrawal, white flour, deposit whole grains. Withdrawal would be processed foods, the deposit unprocessed foods like nuts, vegetables, and low-fat dairy. A withdrawal would be alcohol, A deposit would be mineral water, fizzy with calming minerals like magnesium. A fast food would be another withdrawal. Well, protein like eggs, lean meat, and beans would be a deposit. That, you know, we cover health every month with our Dr. Troy, and this is such a big deal. I think people don't even realize how much it affects how they engage with life, with people, and how they physically feel. So tell me what you learned about it.
Yeah, and in as context for that, we are looking in that chapter at where are the energy leaks in our life that we may not be aware of, because as we talked about, introverts really need to budget their energy and be intentional with it. And so for me, I discovered things like white flour, sugar that release dopamine were taking away energy that I just didn't want to give to them. It wasn't that important to me. And so I still have treats. You know, I'm not an all or nothing kind of person, but I just know that when I used to have a mocha and a chocolate chip muffin for breakfast, instead I probably need some eggs and tea if I want to conserve my energy. So it's just about saying, let's look at all the areas of my life, including the physical, and are there ways that I'm giving up energy that I just don't want to? I want to keep it and use it for other things.
This is a huge conversation. This is incredibly important. I want you to speak, actually both to extrovert and introvert, but specifically to the introvert, just because that's our topic today, in light of the days that we're in. And we've said it over and over again on the show, Holly, that our souls are not made for 24/7 bad news and amped up fears and disaster coming from one angle to the next, especially for the introvert and the highly sensitive person. You can be swallowed alive by it all. And so the idea of conserving your energy and looking what your energy drainers might look like so you can store this time. I mean, just say a word of just as a life coach and a counselor, what would be some advice on top of watching your diet, paying attention to those things, anything else to help them navigate the times in which we live?
Yeah, I think, again, just being intentional about how we engage with news and social media. There was one study that found people who watched 6 or more hours of news about the Boston Marathon bombing had more trauma than people who were there. I mean, think about that, you know? And so then your energy is going to that where we're not able to actually engage in going away from what's in our actual lives. And so I think saying, how much do I need to know in order to take helpful action, and then moving on, instead of saying, I have to know everything about everything all the time, which none of us can do, but especially for introverts and highly sensitive people, just saying, this is the amount of news that I can take in before it becomes overwhelming and actually paralyzes me or keeps me from taking action. This is the amount of social media a day that is best for me, and where's the line that crosses into it actually makes me live a more disconnected life. And I think that's different for all of us, but it's really just paying attention. And one simple exercise we can do is writing down everything we do in a day, putting a plus by what energizes us, a minus by what drains us, a question mark if we're not sure. And then looking at those minuses, we all have minuses. Some are unavoidable. Laundry will be a minus forever in my life. But if spending 2 hours on social media is a minus and I can control that, then I probably want to look at cutting back on that. And then looking at the pluses and saying, okay, it energizes me to be able to have a meaningful conversation with a friend. And so I'm going to replace that social media time with a coffee date once a week. And so I think it really just comes back to being intentional and having those boundaries that really protect our energy and help us make the contribution that we want to in the world.
I just think that is incredibly important, especially in these weeks ahead when so few really are doing that. I mean, we're given to the rage and the noise, but as Christians, it must be different for us. It's got to be different for us. And I think if we can discern God's voice, the only way we'll be able to do that is to lower that volume, cut out the noise, care for our soul, and embrace how God made us to be. Well, I think it's toward the end of the book, you have an introvert declaration kind of a thing. I don't know if you have your book there. Otherwise, I can read it if you'd like.
I would love for you to read it.
Okay. This is so good. Holly writes this, I am an introvert. And I will imperfectly and courageously offer my strengths of strategic solitude, meaningful connection, genuine influence, sacred confidence, true well-being, hard-won resilience, sharp thinking, insightful perception, and intentional energy as I live with purpose and grow for a lifetime. Thank you for your hard work on this book. We got so many texts during the show. You're resonating with so many of our listeners today. And I love your heart, Holly, so much. Bless you for joining us today.
Thanks for having me.
I always love our conversations. Thanks so much, friends, for tuning in. Thank you for your text. I don't know. It really does something for my soul to hear how things are connecting with you. Hey, we're going to leave that drawing open for a little bit yet. Holly's book, again, is titled The Powerful Purpose of Introverts, Why the World Needs You to Be You. What would happen if you started to embrace the you God made you to be? I think a revival might just break out. Hey, text the word book if you want in on the drawing, 877-933-2484. I'll meet you back here next time. Thanks for listening to this conversation from Susie Larson Live. These podcasts are available because of listener support. You can become a supporter now at myfaithradio.com. And thanks for sharing this audio link to spread the good news of the gospel and to grow the impact of the show. Also, if you would, take a moment to subscribe to the podcast today at Apple Podcasts or your favorite podcast player, and never miss a show.